Hello, everyone. Welcome to Lead First, Lead Second, the podcast where our spiritual pursuit is going to meet our leadership development. We would believe that the best leaders don't start with strategy. They actually start with surrender. So when you're led by Christ first, you're going to lead others with greater clarity, purpose, and impact. And every episode is designed to help us grow, not just in our leadership skills, but in your character, your convictions, and your calling. Now today, your guest speaker, your guest listener, or your guest of honor, okay, that's all weird because it is weird today. It's just me. I'm going to share with you some things that have been incredibly helpful for me as I've tried to navigate how to help people in different situations that they bring up whenever they're in my office as a pastor or whenever they're my friend or whether they're in my small group. Different people bring different issues, different problems. How do we know when we're supposed to be the ones to help or when we refer people to something else? And so let's jump into this. I want to help us to know our lane. Like, when do we help and when do we begin to hand off people's situations to other folks? So let's walk through it this way. When your car makes a weird noise, you don't always go straight to the dealership. Sometimes you can just tighten the gas cap. Sometimes you can watch a short YouTube video and see if you can fix it yourself or find it yourself. Sometimes you call your buddy who just knows engines. And sometimes you absolutely need a professional. And leadership, when we're working with people, it's the same way. And I think especially as a small group leader, especially as someone that's got this Bible study, got this small group, got this rooted group, if you're listening to this in real time and doing the Root Initiative here at Grace, but not every problem is yours to fix. And I think that as I've talked with leaders over the years, that's probably one of the number one questions is somehow wrapped around, what if I don't know the answer? What if I don't know what to do? But I'm their leader. How am I supposed to navigate this? But today I want to give you a simple mental model for kind of knowing what level of help someone actually needs and what level of help God is asking you to provide. So I kind of want to walk through like five different levels of help. And one is kind of really just pushing this back on your person as like personal responsibility. This is kind of the equivalent of go check your gas cap. These are like the basic spiritual discipline things. It's the basic obedience things or the habits. Maybe it's repentance or even just seeking wisdom. Your role in this is to like encourage ownership. You're not replacing it. As a small group leader, I've led many over the years. I'm helping lead one right now. It's not my job to obey on behalf of someone else. They have to learn what it means to follow Christ. They have to learn what it means to get into the scriptures. So sometimes our role is just to encourage that. I think of some different passages like in Galatians 6:5 that talks about how everyone should carry their own load, or how in Philippians 2, Paul says we need to work out our own salvation. And so there's going to be places in scripture where God is trying to encourage, hey, I want to interact with you. I want you to pick up what I'm putting down. I want you to grow. I want you to experience what I've promised. And so some things, people don't need a leader for that. They need courage, they need obedience, and they need consistency. And so like for you, like the encouragement is don't become the Holy Spirit, don't try to fix everything for them, and don't rescue people from their responsibility. What they need is kind of that coach on the sidelines that says it's time to step into the game and play your part. Now, the next level of what this can look like is when they need self-guided wisdom, right? And so this is where you like point people to resources, you're not necessarily replacing them. So you're showing them or you're teaching them, what does it look like to get into the scripture? Maybe there's a certain book they should read that would help them, or a sermon or a podcast that they could listen to. These are the ways in which they begin to learn how to learn. If we were back to that car analogy, this is when like you quickly thumb through the owner's manual, or maybe you go check out that quick video on YouTube, and you're like, I bet if I watched the 3-minute thing, I could figure out how to replace that bulb or that filter. Like, right, as leaders, we're trying to cultivate that into people, where we're trying to help them understand this is how you can begin to learn the basics of figuring out what's going on in your life. And so I've always loved passages like Psalm 119, verse 105, which says, God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that passage not only gives us the illustration that God's word is there to help us, but it also shows it's not necessarily to show you everything. I'm going to show you enough light that's right at the path, right at your feet. Here's where the next step is. And so even when Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy that the scripture equips us, like we're helping people to grow and to be dependent themselves on God and how to learn and allow their minds and hearts to be transformed. And so it's understanding that not every question needs an appointment. Sometimes the question just needs some Bible. And helping them realize this is how you can begin to figure out what's going on in your life. And so normalize what it looks like for people to learn. Teach people how to feed themselves spiritually and avoid becoming the only person that knows the truth, that there's no way that you could figure this out if you don't come talk to me. That's not healthy for you or for them. The third level is kind of this peer support, or this is actually probably your bread and butter as to when like you really are needed in these places as a small group leader. And so if we were talking about the car analogy, this is like when you call your buddy who knows cars. Like, hey, I know you dabble with engines. I know you get into this. Like, and so what this area is spiritually is it's the confession. It's the when you need encouragement, I need the strength to move on, I need accountability, or I need relational wisdom, I need someone to speak into my life and help me see what I'm not seeing, things that they couldn't have understood on their own because they don't know that yet. And so this is where our role is to facilitate connection. But I want to encourage here, even though I said this is your bread and butter, you're still not the hero. This is where you're actually helping them realize that like you're not meant to do this on your own. And so whether it's in Genesis where God is saying it's not good for man to be alone, or Ecclesiastes 4 that says two are better than one, or in Galatians 6 where it talks about carrying each other's burdens, like there are so many passages that help us to realize we're meant to depend on one another. As a matter of fact, this is a great opportunity to help folks realize usually one of the fallacies that we believe that, well, God won't give me more than I can handle. That's an untrue statement. The closest thing to that in the scripture is God saying he won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle. But the rest of the scripture continues to articulate we're meant to be dependent on him. We're meant to be dependent on each other. And so many times God does allow plenty of things into our life that we can't handle on our own because we need to learn how to lean on one another. God designed healing to run through community. We need to be able to talk and confess and pray with one another. We need to get encouragement from one another. And as a leader, you just don't have to be the smartest person in the room. And believe me, that is always a huge sigh of relief to both me and the leaders I've worked with over the years. We're teaching dependency and connection, not that leaders have all the answers. So again, don't have to be the smartest person in the room. You can let the group kind of be even minister to each other and begin to shape one another. And then, of course, we always want to kind of protect that trust that's forming there. The fourth level is where we're really looking for kind of more of a spiritual authority. This is where, if it was the car, this is when, like, I think this has to actually go to the mechanic, the local mechanic. So in our case, spiritually, this is when it probably has to go up to church leadership or our pastors and elders. Here's where it's a situation where we're really looking for spiritual direction, or maybe we're looking for counsel or the execution of church discipline. Maybe there's theological confusion. Maybe there's a major life decision, a marital crisis, some serious sin patterns. Like as a leader, as a small group leader, Bible study, small group, rooted leader, your role is to know when to escalate, that this is kind of above my head. I don't know what to do. I've not had to deal with this before. And hear me, it's not that you're not meant to walk alongside them, you are. It's not that you couldn't add any wisdom or counsel to the situation, you could. But these are the situations where we're like, you know what? I really do need to lean into somebody that's been called to this, that's been trained in this. Hebrews 13 says that our elders, our leaders, they actually watch over the souls of their church. Ephesians 4 says that pastors and these different leaders, we equip the saints to do the ministry. We're there for these reasons. And so when we look for our church leaders to be there for us, it's for these exact examples. This, to be quite honest, this is why I pursued what I felt like God was calling me into ministry. I want to be there in these ways for people. I want to help people navigate these situations, and I want to equip people more and more on how to navigate all of them. So even just personally, I'm like, this makes sense. I get this. And I'm well aware of the fact that plenty of people, if you've not gone through the training, if you don't feel called by God, this stuff feels overwhelming. And so God has ordained it. He set it up that way to have pastors and elders to navigate that stuff for a reason. And we just have to realize that as leaders, like, we're a shepherd, but we're not the chief shepherd even of our own church. And so we need to lean into our pastors and elders when things are kind of elevating beyond what we're able to accomplish. So in this case, like, don't feel like referring that person in your group to a pastor is a failure. It's not. It's maturity. It's knowing that you don't know how to navigate a situation or that you're not in a position to make that decision. And listen, this protects you and them. You're leading them toward a place that has a richer place of understanding and help. And it also helps you be protected as not the person that almost like medical malpractice, like you didn't tell them, you know what, just go take a Tylenol. You'd leaned into somebody that has gotten into it and knows how to prescribe moving forward. So that fourth level of kind of the local mechanic is where we're leaning into our pastors and our church leadership. And then there's a fifth level, and this is where we need professional help. To wrap up the car analogy, this is where we're leaning into the dealership tech. This is where, like, the counselors, the doctors, the specialists really show up in our spiritual lives because there's been trauma, like real trauma. There's been abuse or severe addiction or massive mental health issues, on and on and on. Like, these are the things where they are a professional grade issue that we just have no business pretending like we can navigate on our own. And so this is where our role as like a small group leader is to be an advocate, not a diagnosee. Like, we're not the person that says, well, you know what you have. That's not our place. We don't know. We cannot diagnose mental health issues. We cannot diagnose the level of trauma someone's been to. We cannot understand the ramifications of deep abuse in someone's life if that's not been our professional training. And so being their advocate, standing with them, for them, helping them take the steps to get that help, that's our role in this. And so there's so many places in the scriptures where, like, our plans cannot move forward without many advisors, where even like multiple times Paul talks about leaning into the physician for help with things that just aren't his wheelhouse. Now, this is not to say that some things are outside of the spiritual point of view or that they're outside of the spiritual sphere of influence. Spiritual problems can also have biological and psychological layers. And so is Jesus present and is he working? Absolutely. Does he lean into the principles and the decisions and the direction of the church? Of course. Do they need people to advocate for them and walk alongside them as their spiritual shepherds and the small group leaders? Absolutely. Do they need to lean on the scripture? Absolutely. Do they need to learn how to research some of this stuff on their own? Absolutely. But all of that still comes back to, but some things are at a level where we need those professionals to help guide and diagnose and lead us forward. Referring someone to a professional is faith. It's not weakness. It's faith that God has surrounded us with people that can help us. And I will say as a small caveat, even who to refer people to is probably something you should run up to that fourth layer of your pastors and your church's recommendations, because we would want to refer people to, you know, psychologists or counselors that have a Christ-centered point of view. But when we refer people to that, we're actually engaging the greater body of Christ. We're not giving up on them. So it's understanding that you, me, none of us are trained for everything, and we're not supposed to be. I love 1 Corinthians 12 that talks about the different parts of the body of Christ are there to serve in different capacities for different reasons. And so even as we walk back through these five things, that's why we have friends, and that's why we have people that can resource us, and small group leaders and pastors, and then even professionals that we need to lean into sometimes, because they serve in a different role of the body of Christ, and we can never be all things to everyone. We have to realize we need the greater body, we need the greater church, we need the greater work of what Jesus is doing if we're going to serve and lead someone well. As a simple rule of thumb, the heavier the consequences, it's probably the higher level of help you're going to need. The longer that someone's been stuck, the higher of level of help they're probably going to need. And then the more dangerous it is, the higher the level of help they're probably going to need. And so I feel like I've heard some of the pastors, even in our circles here at Grace, say things like, if it can destroy a marriage, a family, a career, or a life, don't treat it like a loose gas cap. Like, you know, lean into those professionals and those deeper resources, because it is truly a deeper issue. So being led first, right? Like leaning into, how does Jesus want me to navigate this situation? How has he equipped me to navigate this situation? Means that we know our limits. Some of us, we've only been leading a group for a couple of weeks. Of course, we don't know everything and can't serve every need. Being a good leader means knowing when to walk with someone and to walk with them to someone else. And that can be one of the greatest gifts you can give them as a leader. And so I personally, as a pastor, as a small group leader, I love remembering things like the Lord is our shepherd, right? That's what Psalm 23 says. It's not solely us. We are pointing people toward Christ. Christ has greater things happening than just what we are doing with that person we're pouring into, and he can help us to do that. So you don't have to fix everybody. You don't have to carry everything that people lay on your lap. You just have to love well, listen well, and point people to the right next step. So I know that as I've even started this Rooted season, as many of you have, as I've gotten into small group leadership and as I've gotten to pastoring, I've needed many conversations like this to be reminded that I'm not the solution for everything. I don't know everything. I certainly can't fix everything. And so one of the greatest gifts we can give people is, how am I led well first, so that I can then lead people where they need to go. And so I hope that this has been helpful for you, that as you think through how can I be led first and then lead second, that you can be challenged and encouraged to be, you know what, I want to lead with greater purpose. I want to help people with more intentionality, and I really want to see them be able to get the help and the security that they need, whether it's on their personal ownership and all the way through. So remember that before you can lead others well, you've got to be led well. You've got to hear these resources, hear these things, get into the scripture yourself, and allow God to do what only he can do in your life. So stay faithful in the following, and your leadership and even your excellence in leadership will follow. So if you found today's episode helpful, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, share it with others that are maybe growing in their leadership journey. Maybe you know someone that's recently been trying to be a hero to everybody. Share this with them, and maybe it'll be a mutual encouragement to them as well. But until next time, keep leading, but always follow first. See you next time.